Willkommen, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer im Stadtlabor. Unser Thema heute: Architektinnen im Sozialismus. Und wir moderieren ganz kurz an, was Sie da draußen heute bei und mit uns erwartet und worüber wir experimentieren. Monotone Bauten aus grauem Beton als Kulisse eines tristen Alltags, ein stereotypes Bild der Architektur im Sozialismus. Dass auch hier große Bauten geschaffen wurden, wissen nur wenige. Dass an vielen Bauten Frauen beteiligt waren, noch weniger. Das Forschungsprojekt Zweite Welt, zweites Geschlecht, Frauen und Architektur im Sozialismus an der Universität Kassel, angesiedelt beim Fachbereich Architektur, Stadt- und Landschaftsplanung, will das nun ändern. Wir freuen uns heute sehr, dass Professor Dr. Alla Woronskaja bei uns zu Gast ist, mit der wir zu diesem Thema experimentieren werden, in Anführungszeichen. Für Sie am Mikro
Maria Bissaljewa
und Klaus Scharke. Und es wird heute, das für Sie, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, zur Erläuterung, es wird heute auch experimentell in der Richtung, dass wir sowohl auf Deutsch als auch auf Englisch moderieren werden und dass Frau Professor Woronskaja uns auf Englisch antworten wird. Also wir hoffen, dass Sie auch bei diesem Experiment mitgehen können. Und jetzt steigen wir mit der ersten Frage ein und ich übergebe an Maria Bissaljewa.
Welcome from my side too, Alla Woronskaja. Could you please explain your project in a few words for our listeners?
First of all, also guten Abend, liebe Zuhörer und herzlichen Dank, Herr Schacke, für die Einladung. Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here. And answering your question, our project, which is now called Women Building Socialism, is devoted to architecture that has often remained neglected by historians and not even recognized as architecture for two reasons. First, because it was designed by women, and second, because it was designed in the state socialist countries. So we're looking at those two stereotypes, that women can't be good architects and that there was no architecture in the socialist world.
Und kann man denn aus Ihrer Perspektive wirklich davon sprechen, dass es keine Architektur in den sozialistischen Ländern gegeben hat?
I think that's a question of what does one mean by architecture, and it's a question of historiography. Now, historiography is a study of how history is being written. So a large part of our project, or actually of feminist scholarship in general, or the scholarship that deals with socialist countries or any non-Western countries, we could say, is about questioning how history has been written. So what do we mean by architecture? And if we look at that, the notion of architecture, the way we know it, can be seen as going back to the Renaissance with its myth of the great humanist hero, who's of course masculine, who's a genius, and who's able of creating works of genius. And this is completely different from the image, the perception of socialist architecture, which is associated with the Plattenbauen, the gray, dull, concrete, standardized blocks, which has often been perceived as the anti-architecture, something that's opposed to creativity. So we're both questioning the notion of architecture and the ideas about what was being built in the socialist world, because that's of course not true that there was nothing but standardized construction on one hand, but on the other hand we can also see actually architectural creativity is being played out in that work as well. So the idea is to go beyond the notion of architecture, the way it is received, architecture as a unique building, often a Renaissance villa, or later villas, or a museum or something that's spectacular, that looks dramatic, and that is unique, that means there is just one building like that. So we're going beyond those stereotypes. I think I could stop here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ja, vielen Dank erstmal für diese Erläuterung. Wenn Sie jetzt darüber sprechen, dass diese Wahrnehmung dafür, also für das, was überhaupt Architektur ist, so wie ich es verstanden habe, ja letztendlich auch vom Westen definiert worden ist und dass man dann sagt, ja, auf der einen Seite war das gar keine Architektur, die da gemacht worden ist. Sie haben aber herausgefunden, dass es auch herausragende Bauten im Sozialismus oder in den sozialistischen Ländern oder die sich sozusagen als solche Länder deklariert haben, dass es das gab. Könnten Sie unseren Hörerinnen und Hörern das ein oder andere Beispiel nennen, was Sie im Rahmen Ihrer Forschungen jetzt schon herausgefunden haben? Weil wir leben ja hier in der Bundesrepublik Deutschland. Wir haben bis 1989 auch ein anderes Deutschland noch gehabt, wo diese Themen ja genau, die Sie beschreiben, eine Rolle gespielt haben, also in der Architektur. Und vielleicht haben Sie so das ein oder andere Beispiel präsent, wo unsere Hörerinnen und Hörer sich etwas darunter vorstellen können.
Ja, natürlich. One example would be the Haus der Kultur und Bildung in Neubrandenburg by East German architect Iris Dudengrund, who was also one of the two women who were employed as city architects, yeah, the chief architects of a city. So that's one quite interesting example which she did as a very young architect. I believe that was her maybe diploma project when she was graduating, and then she was entrusted with the construction and saw it realized, and then eventually became the city architect of Neubrandenburg in East Germany. That's close to home for most people here. Another point that I would like to raise is the question of authorship, and maybe that's another big difference between the socialist or state socialist approaches to architectural design and the more familiar, let's say, Western approach to design, which is associated with a singular author. Again, that idea that goes back to the Renaissance, that there is such thing as the author and a design is the product of his genius. And we can see it even today with brands, and starchitects. The cult of starchitects were becoming almost pop heroes. That was completely different in the East or elsewhere in state socialist countries, where designs were collective, and that would be a very big group involving architects, engineers, landscape architects, whatnot. And it is often impossible to actually to distill that authorship or to attribute the building to a particular person. And often it would be state institute of this or that, something that looks quite unfamiliar for the reader or the viewer who is accustomed to the notion, the traditional notion of architecture. And women were also, of course, often on secondary roles, and that is why, despite women being much more present, actually, in the architectural profession in the East than in the West, their legacy remains neglected, because they were not able to put their name on their work.
Could you please explain to our listeners more which problems women in architecture were and are still facing?
You mean social problems, or
why don't we know so many women architects as we know male architects?
If we talk in general, there has been a seminal article why there has been no women artists by American art historian Linda Nochlin. It came out in the early 1970s, and it formed the foundation for feminist approaches to art history. And there she argued against dominant approaches at the time to discussing the work of women artists, approaches that were either looking at neglected names and then discovering that the production, the artistic production of those women was inferior to that of men, or arguing that women I'm losing my thought here. So basically what Nochlin suggested is to look at why there has been no women architects. So instead of arguing that there was as many women architects, artists as which would be obviously false, she said, yes, that's the fact, that there were historically much less women among most famous and most talented artists. But rather than denying that obvious fact, Nochlin suggested to look at the question, why was that the case? And she found out there are basic things, that women were simply denied opportunities to become artists. They were not admitted to art academies. They were discouraged by society and by their families to practice art. And even those that were actually able to break through those barriers and become artists, they were pushed into niches that were seen as acceptable for women, such as painting animals, for example, or painting domestic scenes, as opposed to painting history scenes, where no woman was ever allowed to go. So Nochlin argued there that it's not that women are naturally not capable of being brilliant artists, but there were social constraints that prevent them from doing so. So if we apply that approach to architecture, we will also see that there were social constraints that prevented women from going into profession for a very long time. Women were not accepted to school of architecture until the early 20th century, for example. Yeah, in Russia, which is the country I'm familiar with most, women were first allowed to study architecture in special female architectural courses where they got education similar to that of men, but they would not get the degree in architecture, meaning all they could do was to work as draftswomen in male architects' offices or to be assistants in their teaching, yeah, because they were never actually would be able to sign as architects. And then that was only changed during the First World War when the economic necessity made the government to allow those courses to give architecture degrees. And then if we see, that was actually quite progressive by the standards of the time. And it was still a very, very long way for women to be admitted to schools of architecture, to find courage and energy to be in that male environment, yeah, with all their professors being male, most of their colleagues being male, and so on, to go through that, break through those barriers. And actually, in the socialist world, what is quite interesting and often remains unknown, women were supported by the states. Yeah, that was a part of the socialist program. So if we're looking at the Eastern and Central Europe, that happened since the late 1940s. In Russia, it happened even earlier. Women were encouraged to go into architecture, and there was a number of programs implemented to support them there, including supporting childcare, including medical sick leaves and all that. maybe some, I'm not sure about quotas, but that was definitely an effort to bring more women into architecture schools. But what happened next is that although women were encouraged to study architecture, they were not encouraged to make a career comparable to that of men in architecture. So it was accepted, and that was interestingly common across the Eastern Bloc. It was accepted that the natural role of women was first and foremost that of the mother. And that was the role that was not to be subordinated to her professional success. So there was no programs to encourage women to move up the hierarchy in architecture. And on the opposite, actually, it was discouraged. So very few women made it as high as Iris Düllengrün, for example. And they mostly remained at the bottom of the hierarchy.
Okay, until, also wir machen eine kurze, bitte behalten Sie diesen Gedanken sozusagen bereit. Wir machen für unsere Hörerinnen und Hörer eine kurze musikalische Pause und hören uns dann gleich wieder im Stadtlabor. Auch die musikalische Pause, das sei hier an dieser Stelle gesagt, ist ein Experiment, weil wir die Musik über YouTube zuspielen wollen. Und wenn die Götter der Technik mit uns sind, dann funktioniert es. Kleinen Augenblick. Ja, willkommen zurück im Stadtlabor und ja, ich gebe jetzt wieder rüber an Maria Bisaljeva, die weiter moderieren wird.
So, do you want to tell us something about your music choice?
Yes, I love this song. It's by my favorite musical ensemble, if I don't know if that word actually exists in English, but I know it does exist in German. That is called Reshimka in Russian, and I think we could translate it to German as Reisschienchen from Reisschiene, yeah, or T-square in English, the instrument of the architects before the digital revolution. This was a satirical ensemble organized by women architects. None of whom were paid, and all of whom were working full-time as architects in Moscow, so doing that in their spare time out of their interest. And they were super popular. They gave concerts throughout the country, and they sang about important social topics about their profession, mostly, and about what did it take to be a woman in architecture. They usually took some most famous popular songs of the time and gave them new lyrics. So the one that you just heard is called Without You, and it was originally a song by a popular singer, Alla Pugacheva, from the early 1980s. And the text that was sang here by Rima Aldonina was a very important, actually, architect in Moscow and the lead singer in this ensemble, is a very stark reproach of women to men. And what they're saying is they're basically accusing male architects of creative impotence. I mean, without saying that word, but they're saying that look at what you have done. You're not able to achieve anything. They're comparing contemporary architecture in Moscow to 19th century architecture. And they're saying, look, if the city is so beautiful, it's not because of you. And basically they're saying, we don't need you here. You can't do anything. You can't be an architect. And that is being said to men in architecture. And we can do it better than you.
Yeah, ich hätte ganz gerne noch mal kurz die Frage, bevor wir zu den Studien kommen, was Sie konkret mit dem Projekt machen werden. Ich habe hier Zwischengeräusche, ich weiß nicht, wo die herkommen. Auf welche Länder beziehen Sie sich konkret in Ihren Forschungen? Das wäre für ganz interessant nochmal für uns zu hören. Geht es dabei sozusagen um das, was man als die RGW-Staaten oder die Comecon-Staaten betrachtet hat oder die Warschauer Pakt-Staaten? Was ist das Untersuchungsgebiet Ihres Gegenstandes?
Yeah, with this project, we are trying to go as broad as possible, so beyond the Warsaw Pact countries, and to focus on state socialism as an economic and social system that conditioned the work of women architects, which is why we have China and Cuba included in the project, for example. And we are really finding that the conditions of work, such as these large state-run institutions, for example, that I mentioned, or the opportunities offered by the woman by the state, yeah, which on one hand supported women in their in obtaining higher education or in childcare and so on, but on the other hand discouraged women from professional success. That was quite universal and quite similar across different countries of state socialism. So not just the Eastern Bloc, but also countries in Asia or even the Americas.
I'd like to know what is the goal of your research. So what are you going to do with all your knowledge and how are you going to take it to the world?
Yeah, so our project is a little bit unusual in the academic world, because we are not proposing, or at least at this point, we don't aim to write our own critical research about women in architecture, which I hope we will do at some point. But what we are doing right now is we're trying to bring together all this diverse material about women in architecture in state socialist countries. And by now there has been a lot of research. Often this research is just publication in a local newspaper, for example, in a language that most people can't even read or would never notice that publication otherwise. Or
which language?
We are actually, well, we will try to include all languages we can read, and for now we have been relying on the help of our student assistants from different with different backgrounds, or suggestions of our colleagues from different countries. So we don't want to discriminate by language. We want to basically create a hub that would register all publications or all resources about the work of women architects in state socialist countries. Hopefully also at some point we will be able to translate something, but that's the next step. For now, what we want to do is to create this synthetic instrument where people could go and where they could start their research. So it's to help researchers, or to help hopefully also the general audience, to start somewhere. We will have several sections in the website. The first will be database of individual architects arranged by country, with brief introductions to the local specific or the national specifics in this country. And then we'll have basically as many names as we can find, and links if some names are, of course, more famous, more well-known than others. So we'll link whatever literature is out there. Then we will have a section on sources, and there we will link and also scan and upload whenever we are allowed to do so. Primary sources. There is also interesting literature. For example, there is a novel, Franziska Linkerhand, in German about a female architect who is coming out of age and then finding herself working in this depressing standardized environment and is having a personal and professional crisis there. There is a couple of interesting films that I found one in Russian, there's something in Polish, and I'm sure there's a lot more. So we would like to link all of that there. We could, for example, also link this T-square ensemble also there. Then we will have a section with our own essays. Some of them, again, because we're a relatively small-scale project, we are not able at this point to fund, let's say, PhD dissertations and so on. So we're mostly relying on student work or work that other scholars donate us, or work that we produce ourselves in our free time, so to say, or we happen to have done anyhow. So we will have the essay section there, and we will have a section with links and bibliographies. So we really see it as a hub of information, as a central point that links and brings together research that is done in different countries and by different teams, or primary sources.
Yeah, this sounds really interesting, and it's like, it sounds like a lot of stuff which is going on the website, and yeah, it sounds very interesting, I think. And do you want to tell maybe an example of a person which you will put on the site, and which story you whole story you find really interesting?
We will try to write short biographic entries about as many people as possible, and we will also invite other contributors to write about them. Yeah, somebody might be a specialist on this particular architect, but it doesn't. They wrote a book about that, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily focused on this architect as being a woman. So we're hoping also to attract authors who would agree to write this short biographic profiles about different architects. To give you just one example, Rima Aldonina, whom you just heard singing, was an important architect working in Moscow, and the only female head of an architectural workshop. So the way the profession was organized in the city of Moscow, of course, the largest was the capital, so it had the most complex bureaucratic system of organization and the most employed most architects. It was divided into several workshops, all of which but one were headed by men. So Rima Aldonina, who was also a single mother, was the head of that workshop, and she was engaged in a number of important projects. And it's interesting how she struggled to find architecture, to reinvent standardized architecture as something that has a very expressive language. And she found very interesting ways to work with architecture as mass, as shape, while designing residential houses in Moscow.
Wenn wir jetzt hören, dass Sie ein Archiv oder ein modernes Archiv, sage ich mal, online gestützt anlegen werden, wenn ich mir jetzt vorstelle, dass diese, so wie ich es verstanden habe, dass diese Frauen wie auch viele Architekten, aber eben auch vor allem die Frauen in den sozialistischen Ländern sozusagen im Kollektiv aufgegangen sind und als Autorin, als Entwerferin, als Entwurfsverfasserin überhaupt nicht wirklich identifizierbar sind. Wie kommen Sie denn dann an die Informationen heran? Wer war jetzt wirklich dann maßgeblich oder federführend an einem bestimmten Projekt beteiligt? Ich stelle mir das als eine unheimliche Such- und Recherchearbeit vor, die Sie da leisten müssen, weil dieses Feld ja weitgehend unbeforscht ist.
Ja, you know, I think the realistic way, but also maybe let's put it this way. The way we are going to deal with this challenge is to question the notion of authorship to begin with. And I think there is a merit in that questioning. So we do not aim to necessarily establish the boundaries of authorship in each particular project and who exactly did what, but we accept collectives as authors. And within those collectives, we acknowledge the work of everybody who participated in it. And names are usually known, but it can be a list of 20 or 30 people. So we would just list that work, even in cases when this person is not the lead architect. Yeah, there was always a lead architect on the project. So if she was not a lead architect, I don't think that doesn't mean that we shouldn't mention that work.
Und können Sie denn, werden Sie auch mit Zeitzeuginnen und Zeitzeugen sprechen, so es sie noch gibt? Also ich beziehe mich jetzt mal auf ein ganz aktuelles Projekt, auch ein Forschungsprojekt am Fachbereich Architektur, Stadt- und Landschaftsplanung der Universität Kassel, an dem ich mitarbeiten durfte, von Manuel Quadra, der sein Thema hieß Träume und Räume einer Revolution, Architektur in Kuba von 1959 bis 2018. Und dort, ich durfte diese Vorlesungsreihe, die Manuel gemacht hat, verschriftlichen als Grundlage für diese Publikation, die dann erschienen ist. Und Mir ist in diesem Zusammenhang ein Name sehr, sehr präsent gewesen oder geblieben, Josefina Rebellon. Und die stand bei den Projekten, die Manuel Quadra vorgestellt hat, oftmals als die Chefin eines Teams sozusagen dort in dem, in diesem Kontext. Und Manuel hat, glaube ich, die Chance gehabt, dort in Kuba tatsächlich auch Zeitzeugen und Zeitzeuginnen zu befragen. Ist das auch ein Teil Ihres Konzeptes, sozusagen ein Stück weit mit über das Thema Oral History zu Ihren Forschungen beizutragen?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be our next step, and I think that should be our next step, because these people are unfortunately, that's the law of nature, that they enter in their old age at this point, and we are basically having maybe last chance to interview them. So we hope to interview. We already, our two wissenschaftliche Mitarbeiter, who are also doctoral students with us in the program, they interviewed some for their dissertations, and we're also hoping to bring that into the project, and we hope to be able to interview more people in the future before it's too late.
Okay, bis hierher erstmal ganz, ganz herzlichen Dank. Wir machen nochmal eine kurze musikalische Pause für unsere Hörerinnen und Hörer. Und auch, wie ich es vorhin gesagt habe, auch diese Pause ist ein kleines Experiment, wo wir vom Computer über YouTube Musik zuspielen. Wir hoffen, dass die Götter der Technik mit uns sind.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So do you want to tell like one sentence about the last song?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure some of our listeners are more familiar with the song than I am. It's called Mont Clamott, and it is by GDR singer Tamara Dance, and the band was called Silly. It comes from the early 80s. And as you could hear, it's also about the woman, the place of the woman in the city. And Mont Clamott is this mound of debris in Berlin turned into a park. So it's about the role of women in the post-war construction of Germany and in the life in the GDR, and that how women had to become very strong to carry on life after their men were killed. And about that, yeah, the city has been the work of women, and the city is being continued and carried by women. Yeah, so that labor of construction, that labor that had been perceived as male before, is now becoming the reproductive almost work of women. Reproduction in the sense of the reproduction of life.
Thank you so much. You just said a sentence which is very good for my next question. You said when you explained and talked about the song how women have to get very strong. Does this also is it also something which you can say about women in architecture? How did they feel? Did they have to be like super strong to just like fight their way into it? Because you talked about all the struggles for female architects already.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thank you. I think there is an interesting difference here between how women were inventing themselves as architects or claiming their place in architecture in the West and in the East. So in the West, women basically assumed the role and habits and lifestyle of men to be admitted into the profession. They often, they wouldn't marry, they wouldn't have children, they would devote themselves to their work. Yeah, they're married to their work, as they say still. That was very different in the East, where the woman was perceived first and foremost as the mother. And not only it was perceived so by the society, but women architects also interiorized that perspective, or they never questioned it, so they perceived themselves as mothers first and foremost. And they didn't want to be like men. It was never part of the conversation about among women architects that they are the same as men. That difference came as the most basic natural difference. It is interesting that the very term feminism was viewed then and still has been viewed very negatively in socialist countries, because feminism was associated with this kind of aggressive male-like attitudes of women, yeah, who wanted to be basically men, and who denied the natural difference. So what replaced feminism as the ideology of emancipation of women in the East was instead what was called in the Soviet Union women's movement. And I think it was quite similar in other East European cultures without them using the term. And women's movement is an approach or a movement that did fight for equality in the profession, but without questioning that natural difference and social difference, as a result of the natural difference between men and women. It was also interesting that it was a very religious movement, and that is often something that people don't associate at all with socialist countries, because religion was denied by the ideology, but that exactly made it interesting or appealing for women who for people who found themselves either as dissidents or, as happened with women architects, in that gray zone between dissidents and the official. They believed that the natural role of woman is to be the mother, to be the wife, and they wanted to remain mothers and wives, while also have been allowed to work, or also questioning that glass ceiling that existed in architecture and wanting more interesting projects, more responsibility in design and so on.
That sounds like a lot for these women in socialism, because they still had the role of a mother or a wife, and
In the interviews, I haven't conducted my own interviews yet, but I read interviews that others did, and it's actually it's incredible what kind of life or what kind of life those women had and how much strength and energy they had, because they're remembering how during their lunch breaks, for example, when men would go to the dining hall and socialize there, women would be the one to go grocery shopping, because in the Soviet Union, for example, yeah, there was a deficit and lines in grocery stores, so somebody had to stay in those lines, and that would, of course, be the woman. And then in the evening, again, it would be the woman who would come and cook the dinner and look after the kids. Yeah, that double burden of being the housewife and being a professional was very, very present.
Ich würde ganz gerne, wir bewegen uns so in Richtung Zielgerade, sage ich mal, unserer Sendung, um diese, dass Ihr Forschungsprojekt, Ihre Forschung so ein Stück weit ins Hier und Jetzt und vielleicht auch um einen Blick in die Zukunft zu wagen, würde ich ganz gerne von Ihnen mal hören, was können wir aus den Erfahrungen der Architektinnen in den sozialistischen Ländern lernen? Und möglicherweise auch für die Zukunft nutzbar machen, ne? Weil es wäre ja also schön, wenn dieses Forschungsprojekt dann auch für unsere jetzige Gesellschaft, wo es den sozialistischen Block nicht mehr gibt, wo möglicherweise ja Erkenntnisse, sage ich mal, gewonnen werden könnten. Wie schätzen Sie das ein? Gibt es da ein Gefühl dazu, ob wir davon lernen könnten?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great question. And I think one interesting discovery would be that it was not an entirely negative experience. And it is an experience that is complex in many ways. And that support that women got in education, yeah, to be attracted to universities, that they support, for example, for childcare, or in the form of dormitories for young families, yes, student mothers, for example, would get a special accommodation on campus, yeah, to be able to study and take care of their children, medical leaves and all that. Well, I guess that's less of a problem in Germany than it is, for example, in the United States or some other countries. But that system of state support for women was actually was not bad at all, and it was appreciated by women, and it was a huge disappointment in the wake of the changes in the 1990s when women discovered that lots of that social infrastructure that they took for granted just disappeared all of a sudden, and they were disappointed in many ways. But on the other hand, one could also learn that just putting that support system in place does not guarantee equality, and that equality was declared in the Eastern Bloc, but it was never achieved. And that's, of course, a negative example. Yeah, so we could think of different ways in which the society could support women and has to be supporting them, and how do those ways work together?
Your website is already an opportunity to enhance voices of women architects from former socialist countries. And what do you wish for the future of your website and also for the future of architecture?
That's a great question. Yeah, well, we hope that it will grow. And this is a website that depends on participation of the audience. So we hope that people will contact us and say, hey, my grandma was an architect in the GDR and I have her photographs, or I would like to tell you about her. You know, we are very open to all kinds of such messages. And we are hoping that it will grow through the participation of the readers, because that's often the only way to bring those names to life. And as we are quite a small research team at this point, at least, we are unable to do extensive archival work and to dig out that information there. We really hope that it will become a platform where people who are interested or have something to say about women who worked in architecture in the broadest sense of the term. And again, because women were often denied entry to architectural design, that was the most prestigious part of the job. Women were often pushed to those peripheral or marginal positions in fields like landscape architecture, interior design, book illustration, theater decoration, pedagogy often, and so on. So we're hoping to get information about women architects in the broadest sense of the term. Yeah, so we're hoping to attract people and to create a platform for discussion and for sharing information. So I think that sharing aspect is very important for us.
Und wie kommen Sie denn dann, also einmal, ich sag mal, im Deutschen gibt es das schöne Wort Mundpropaganda, also so, dass sich das etwas herumspricht, so wie das Beispiel, dass die Tochter oder die Enkelin sagt, hier, meine Mutter war Architektin und da würde ich gerne was drüber erzählen. Wie streuen Sie das nach da draußen? Also so, weil Menschen müssen ja davon erfahren, dass es dieses Projekt und diese Möglichkeit gibt. Wie machen Sie das?
That's a good question that we have to think about how we will do it. But basically through our networks, through social media, and I think this opportunity to speak on the radio is a great one as well. So dear listeners, please contact us if you have some information to share.
Yeah, and how can we contact you? Can you please say your...
My email is quite easy to find on the website of the University, Kassel University, Fachbereich 6.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think we are at the end of our talk.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for this interview. It was great to be here, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for staying with us.
Ja, okay. Und dann, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, vielen, vielen Dank, dass Sie dieses Experiment mitgemacht haben, dabei gewesen sind. Wir sind selber auch Lernende, begreifen uns so und haben das heute in dieser Form erstmalig gemacht, live performed sozusagen. Und für diejenigen, die jetzt vielleicht zufällig zugeschaltet sind oder auch für alle anderen, diesen sei zugerufen, wir werden das als Podcast veröffentlichen, das Interview und werden das dann, es wird dann über alle Streaming-Plattformen auch verfügbar sein und das werden wir dann über den Fachbereich Architektur, Stadt- und Landschaftsplanung der Uni Kassel natürlich auch kommunizieren, wenn es dann soweit ist und wenn wir mit dieser Radiosendung einen kleinen Beitrag leisten konnten, um dieses Projekt bekannt zu machen, dann freuen wir uns natürlich riesig und wünschen dem Projekt, Team, den wissenschaftlichen Mitarbeitenden und Ihnen als Projektleiterin natürlich alles, alles Gute, dass Sie ja möglichst viele spannende Erkenntnisse gewinnen werden und von unserer Seite damit viel Freude beim Vertiefen der gewonnenen Einsichten und wir legen jetzt nochmal zum Schluss, versuche ich nochmal ein Lied aufzulegen über den Rechner und damit schicken wir Sie in eine hoffentlich wunderbare Nacht bis dahin.